It's time once again for our weekly checkup with Matt Stringer, RNIB Chief Executive, here on RNIB Connect Radio. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Toby. No, fine as ever. Nice to speak to you.
Matt, before we talk about the Paralympics and, of course, the fantastic success over the last week of all the medals for the Paralympics GB team, I thought, as it is Remember Charity Week next week, that we should start by chatting a little bit about how much legacies mean to the RNIB, because I believe legacies account for about a third of the RNIB's income.
No, that's right. It's a large part of our income from people that very generously remember us in their wills, often connected to their own personal or sort of familial thanks and respect for the services we've offered through their lives. People have been very committed to use our audiobook services and our library services, for example. People have used our welfare services, you know, a variety of things we do there. So, you know, there's a lot of very positive and very sort of trusted, you know, links to services the RNIB have offered, and that comes through, or provided, and that comes through as people leave as legacies in their wills. It does make up a reasonable chunk of our income. You know, we're about 100 million turnover charity, just under that number, and legacies make up, as you say, just over a third of our income. So, you know, it's a very important income stream for us, and one that we cherish and we're very respectful of, and we spend a lot of effort into engaging with people who have, you know, left us legacies in their wills, you know, to make sure that we're doing the right thing by them. So the purpose of next week in terms of sort of Remember Charity Week is just to get people just to focus on legacies and making sure, you know, people, as we all, you know, do, we need to get our affairs in order and make sure, you know, we're leaving wills which properly direct our affairs and not leaving, you know, things to chance for our inheritors to manage. And we're just going to use next week as a reminder to people, with a whole ton of material and support and insight about how people can think about remembering charities in their wills and leaving a legacy.
And at the end, we'll have details of how you can find out more about leaving a legacy to the RNIB. Matt, we know there's possibly a lack of understanding out there about how sight loss affects people. As earlier this week, a contestant on a TV contest was asked a question about the colours of the snooker balls. And there was a lot of comments suggesting that that question shouldn't have been asked to that particular person. I think there's still quite a lot to do with regards to understanding of sight loss, as we all know that only around 4% of people who are registered blind have no sight at all.
Yes, it's an interesting question. I think there's a couple of dimensions to this. You know, first of all, should you be asking a question on a quiz program which has an element of knowing sort of colour about it? Happened to be snooker balls in this case, could have been anything else where there was a choice of colours to choose. And I think that was probably okay to ask that question, actually, because I think otherwise it's slightly patronising to think that blind and partially sighted people aren't interested, don't know what colours are their favourite football team strip or the colour of grass or the sky, you know. So I think, you know, it's probably not wrong that sort of question is included. I think, as you said, the interesting point, which is should stimulate, is actually driving a much greater understanding of the spectrum of sight loss, with, as you say, only a small percentage of people being registered blind and there being a large difference in people's ability to see, which isn't people being totally blind. And I think, you know, that's probably the thing to prompt out of this, which is to raise awareness. And it's a big part of our strategy as RNIB, is to raise societal awareness, raise that public perception of what it means to be blind and partially sighted, which isn't a sort of single issue. There's not a single answer to that question. It's a much broader spectrum, as I said, with much greater challenges driven by where you might be on that spectrum. So, I mean, whilst, you know, it looks slightly a crass question in isolation, I think the bigger question is, or the bigger prompt from this is actually having, you know, helping that debate about improving society's understanding of what it means to be blind and partially sighted.
And one way to see the achievements of visually impaired and disabled people is, of course, the Paralympic Games that are on at the moment. And Dame Sarah Storey has just won her 17th Paralympic gold medal. And there have been lots of medals for Paralympics GB visually impaired athletes, including cycling, rowing, swimming, judo, and I think just a javelin medal as well. So it has been a fantastic Paralympic Games, hasn't it?
No, it's been great. I mean, I said, I think last week's interview, maybe the one before that, you know, I'm a sports nut, so I've been following through live coverage and catching up on the news, you know, and various highlights packages. So, keeping reasonably abreast of it. You probably know a bit more than me, Toby, from some of the things you've just told me there. But yeah, I think Sarah Story overnight winning a 17th gold medal, doing the it was the road race, wasn't it? And I think, yes, you know, one of the times she achieved in the velodrome in one of the events earlier in the week was good enough to have won the Olympic gold medal at the 2008 Olympics. So the standard of competition clearly is incredibly high, with some massively impressive athletes, of which maybe Sarah Story is probably the standout athlete for her achievement of 17 gold medals. There was a lovely 16-minute period where husband and wife Neil and Laura Fakeshy won gold medals in cycling events as visually impaired competitors riding with a partner in the velodrome, I think on the same day as Sarah Story won one of her events, actually, which I thought was a brilliant story and clearly, you know, highly impressive athletes. I think the other standout race was Johnny Peacock coming third in the 100 metres, you know, with four of the athletes sort of breasting the tape virtually at the same time in an incredibly high quality event. So wherever you look, you find standout performances and real inspiration. Mm. One of my favourite athletes is David Weir, actually, in the wheelchair event, who I know came last, I think, in the 1500 metres. But, you know, standout athlete over, I think, six Olympics in wheelchair racing, won umpteen London marathons in under 2 hours, you know. So I think he bows out maybe at the end of this Paralympics and goes on to coach. But he's been maybe my favourite sort of athlete within the Paralympic sort of body over many Paralympics. We should just say our own internal member of the exec team, David Clark, who's a very celebrated Paralympian, you know, lit the flame at the 2012 London Olympics. He's the highest goal scorer of any England player in any format of football. I think he's got 132 goals or something, 138 maybe. And if people want to go and find him on Channel 4's The Last Leg, then you go to the sort of Channel 4 hub, you'll see David in action this week appearing on The Last Leg. And there's some lovely footage of him scoring in the 2012 London Olympics, actually. So, you know, we've got a few noted Paralympians within the ranks of the RNIB, and maybe David is the most fated because of his fantastic record playing football.
And I think it's great for visually impaired people who can see other visually impaired people competing at world, international and Paralympic level and inspire them to actually compete. And I think, you know, it's the same with Ellie Simmons. I think she's just announced that this might be her last Paralympics, but she's inspired some great swimmers behind her. So I think that's another thing to take away from the Paralympics, is the inspiration that all these athletes give to other people.
No, indeed. And I think going on, you know, affecting societal change after their careers have ended. I mentioned David Weir, you've mentioned Ellie Simmons, you know, our own David Clark, who works for us, who's on the board of the Paralympics. And I think you can see how it's a massive platform, not only to be a brilliant athlete, and that's in itself, you know, totally valid, it's fantastic, but actually, you know, the fact is getting covered on Channel 4, we're talking about it, and people, Tanny Gray Thompson sort of, you know, blazed a trail, but others going into positions of authority, either in sports governance, you know, sports administration, politics, is just phenomenal. And I think it's just not only a great for the sort of management of sport, but also, you know, it is noticed in society. It just helps break down barriers. You know, going back to our question on snooker earlier, it's just helping with that understanding of sort of what it means to be blind and partially sighted. So, you know, the Paralympics is brilliant in itself, but I think it's been an enormously positive springboard for helping affect societal change as well.
And if you would like to leave a legacy to the RNIB, as we mentioned earlier on, or you have any questions relating to sight loss at all, do visit the RNIB website, that's rnib.org.uk, or you can call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. Thank you, Matt, once again for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, thank you, Toby. My pleasure, and great to be able to talk at length about the Paralympics, which I think is just a fabulous event. So I think we'll miss it next week when it's finished. But thank you for having me on again.